Oh my goodness, would you look at that carne asada? Would you look at those fajitas doing what they do? Oh, peppers, onion, steak, about to chop it up and make some tacos. Tacos, tacos. Yeah.
Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday with Mark McMillan on Cofield and Company.
Nevada Day, PGK, early start, end of the first period, down against the Avs, trailing 2-1. That was Mark McMillan on the way back. It's time to do a little grilling with McMillan. We're going to get to his menu, at least that he sent out on social media in a couple of minutes. I think you'll find this one interesting, Mark. Story that came across today in USA Today. Ready for this one?
Let's go.
Steaks, sausages, chicken burgers. Ezekiel Elliott takes young Cowboy running backs under his wing. He says that he learned one summer during school at Ohio State how to grill. And now he and Mike Weber and another rookie, Tony Pollard, all hang out and they barbecue.
That's a good bonding. That's a good team bonding right there.
Can you learn in one summer how to grill?
Yes.
You think he did it on his own or he brought in celebrity chef to teach him?
He brought somebody. There's no way Zeke. I can't see Zeke on the grill. I can see him eating, but I just can't see Zeke on the grill. Okay. I can't see him I can see him smoking something else, but not no meats.
Okay, ready? Hot dogs, steak, smoked sausages. The story says you want chicken. He can grill chicken breast or wings. I think wings on the grill would be hard. How do you do it so you make sure they're cooked inside?
It depends on if you're using propane or if you're using wood. Now, if you're using propane, it's going to cook a little quicker because it's actual fire. Now, if you smoke them, obviously you got to have some wood. You want to get some good mesquite wood. You just can't have any kind of wood. You got to get some mesquite wood and you smoke
them. And it's all about temperature and time?
Temperature and time is very important. Now, you can't just, put the wings on the grill and just go back in the house and sit and chill. You got to man the fire. So you got to sit there. It's almost like taking care of a baby, man. Food is precious. Food is precious, man.
And there's no such thing as opening the grill too many times?
Yeah, you don't want to open the grill too many times, especially if you're smoking it because you're letting all the heat out. So that's why I said you got to have a game plan ahead of time. Okay, if I got steak, if I got chicken, if I got links, it doesn't really matter about the hot links because they cook real quick. But if you're smoking chicken, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's the other thing on the grill that's a pain in the rear end when you're cooking for a decent-sized group is timing all the food so it all comes out at the same time.
Well, if you're a smoker, I have a really big smoker. I can put probably like 300 pounds of meat on my smoker. I have a really
Excuse
big smoker.
Me? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a real big – yes. It's one that you can actually – we can have a tailgate party like the size of the smoker.
Like, for example, the other day I saw you were doing hot links and ribs. And the hot links obviously cook in like no time. They were popping. I saw it. They look good.
The hot links took probably, I would say, 7 minutes tops. But the ribs, I smoked those ribs. Those ribs took 3 hours.
Oh, so you smoke them first, and then you're just doing a little char on the grill?
Just do a little char. So you smoke the ribs 3 to 4 hours, and then after that, you just put it on the open flame, let it char a little bit, put your little sauce on there. Dreamland barbecue sauce, that's in Alabama. Some great sauce. Good sauce.
So, Citrus, speaking of smoking, I had a friend that posted a question on Facebook today.
Let's get it.
Just coincidentally, it works out. And I know he'd love it if I called him Anthony Montgomery, but I'll just leave that for him. Serious question for all my pit masters and grillers. When smoking pork belly, do you or do you not trim the fat?
No.
No?
No. You want all the fat. That's why they call it pork belly.
Okay.
You don't want that's where the flavor is at in the fat. So you let it just soak in and just marinate. It's almost like smoking a whole hog. You don't trim the hog. You just cook the whole hog.
All right, ready for this one?
I'm learning a lot.
This is next level. Do you trim the fat off a brisket?
You trim a little bit of fat off the brisket. You don't want to trim all the fat because obviously that's where you get your flavor at from the fat on the brisket. It's almost like a tri-tip. A tri-tip comes with a layer of fat also. If you get a tri-tip with no fat on it, don't grill it because it's gonna come out like steak.
I'm going to have you watch. There's a show on Netflix because I love cooking shows, and I've been watching it traveling, right? So there's a new show called Chef Show, right?
Yeah.
And it's with Jon Favreau, who did a movie called Chef, and his chef teacher is Roy Choi. And they go down to a barbecue place in Texas, and you got to watch the delicate nature with which they treat a brisket. And, like, it looked like it took, like, 20 minutes to trim the brisket the way that guy wants it. I mean, it was like, there's a whole science to making sure that you're cutting off the right parts, leaving on the right parts.
Yeah, exactly. And that, a lot of people kind of get carried away because if you leave too much fat and it's going to come out like Jell-O. You know, you got to have just the right amount of fat on it on any kind of cuts of meat. It's like a good steak.
Well, it's the same thing when we talk about brisket, ribs, whatever it is. Right. There's also, in terms of trimming, there's that silver skin layer that you got to get off there, too. It's basically just
That's what it was.
It's the connective tissue. You got to get that out of there because the fat, it cooked right, the fat will come down to the point where it's like candy, right? It's just like sweet candy that you eat. But if you leave that silver skin layer on there, it's just chew.
Like you throw that candy in there?
I think someone at the table might be more advanced than Adam Hill and I.
Oh, there you, like you said about the ribs.
Candy just went next level.
I'm somewhere in between Adam Hill and Mark McMillan, and there's a big gap in there, so I can live anywhere inside that gap.
I feel like we're doing a radio show in a foreign language right now.
No, no. And some people cook with the membrane on ribs.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important to take the membrane off the back of the ribs so you can let the seasoning actually get into the meat. If you're going over there and you got to bite into a rib and it's tough, that ain't no good rib. That rib should fall off the bone.
Should we get into exactly where I'm working with, what I'm working with in terms of my culinary skills? I decided to try to make stir fry last week and like my one night home. I do not have any idea how to do that. So I went and bought one of the pre-cooked chicken.
God almighty.
That you have
you keep throwing pre-cooked chicken at him, and he's going to annihilate.
It gets worse.
You.
That's
cheating. That's cheating.
It gets worse because then I bought two of the steamers that you put in the microwave, and it steams the vegetables up. And then I just poured them all together, and then heated it in the microwave. That was my stir fry, and let me tell you, it sucked.
I bet
you neither stirred. Nor fried.
No.
How about a stir fry?
It's chicken and vegetables.
He nuked it.
It's chicken and vegetables.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
You microwave chicken and vegetables. Do not call that a stir fry.
I'm calling it stir fry because I was actually very proud that I was actually able to pull that off.
No, man. You got to get the chicken. I did a stir fry the other day. You get the chicken. You get your fresh vegetables. You cut it up. You put a little oil in the pan so you saute your vegetables a little bit.
Okay.
You take them out. Then you cook your chicken. And then you add it all in at the end with your special sauce and seasoning.
So you're telling me I have to buy a pan.
Iron skillet. You got to get the iron skillet.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just making sure.
That is one of the things. I'll give you a couple of things from that chef show that I noticed. They use that iron skillet all the freaking time because they're also going from the stovetop to the oven often. And the other thing, Roy Choi is great at this, and I'm sure you do it as well. He said the biggest – this is so stupid when you think about it. The biggest mistake people make when they cook at home is not seasoning. And so when you start to think, how complicated is that? Yeah, it's salt and pepper. He's just dropping salt and pepper on everything that he does repeatedly. He's like, people just don't do this.
Salt is what makes food taste like itself. You can't not put salt on there because it's the first thing you're going to notice if it's missing, right? Like every food you eat that has some amount of salt within it, you notice that immediately, and you can put a little bit on and keep going that way. Just don't oversalt because there's no coming back from oversalt.
No, it ain't no coming back. Now, if you go to the soul food restaurant, You make sure you have some water, because sometimes they put a little bit too much seasoning on it, especially grandma. You know, grandma back in the day, man, she was adding a little bit too much salt. I think I had high blood pressure at 5.
Other items you cooked this week. So I saw you make burgers, but then you dropped in the term Juicy Lucy. Were those actually Juicy Lucy, or you were just saying they were juicy?
I was just saying that they were juicy. I wasn't giving Juicy Lucy no credit,
okay.
But the burgers were juicy, so juicy, and it just matched Juicy and Lucy. You know, it kind of went together.
The real Juicy Lucy has what, cheese inside?
Yeah, you're basically taking it's a cheese-stuffed burger. It's a Minnesota thing.
Oh, I can do that.
They get it to the point where it ends up coming out like goo, like almost like nacho cheese coming out of the middle of the burger. It's pretty fantastic, honestly.
And I saw Taco Night.
Ooh.
Did your son ask for tacos?
Son asked for tacos. You know, he works at the Mandalay Bay, you know, picking up towels, looking at little girls walking around the pool area.
Good job.
And he was like, yeah, great job. He was, yeah, really good job. So he was like, Dad, I want tacos. So I said, okay, let me go get some carne asada, some chicken.
I first of all, I love this. Like, you know, at this point, you could just go, yeah, okay, go to Taco Bell. I don't feel like cooking tonight.
No, Taco Bell. That's going to run through you.
You've got, like, a whole hunk of steak on the grill, and then, again, the skillet, like, with vegetables, the chicken. Like, you go all out.
My man wanted tacos, so I was like, he loves carne asada. So I went and got some carne asada, and then that only takes probably, like, 5 minutes tops because it's a thin slice of meat. Flip it once, bam, there you go.
What cut are you using for carne asada?
Use the beef.
No, I'm just saying, what cut of beef is what I'm saying. What are you getting? You getting like a like a flank steak? You getting like a ribeye?
Flank
like,
steak.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Use a flank steak.
One show, you know,
yeah.
Not the same kind of cut that you're going to put on the grill for, you know, a big hunk of 20 ounces.
No,
you know,
no.
You know, okay, I'm just checking.
But the key, like you said, the iron skillet. Like that skillet stays on the grill like 5 days a week. And you got to make sure you season your skillet too after that.
What's a skillet? What does that mean, season it?
Now, after you're done with your skillet, you wash it out. Then you got to make sure you put your little oil in it after you're done because you don't want your skillet to get rusted and dried out.
Well, the skillet holds the flavor too. I mean, the skillet's going to keep you cook things over and over and over again in that skillet. It's going to hold in that flavor, and you're going to get it every time that you bring something out.
My mom still has the iron skillet when I was small, the same iron skillet. That skillet has been through war.
That's amazing.
And it still produced great food.
What do they cost now? How much is a decent skillet?
You can get them at Walmart, but I get mine at Cracker Barrel because they have the good selection of the iron skillet.
Really?
Yeah. They have a whole selection of iron skillets at Cracker Barrel.
Dang.
You guys are probably just walking in there just to get something to eat. You ain't even worried about the skillets.
I like to play that peg
game. Yeah, I'm always an ignoramus.
McMillan with McMillan brought to you by our friends at Born and Raised Las Vegas and Henderson. You got football game specials on Bud Light, Mick Ultra, bucket specials on all those beers, and on the Bond and Viv, Spike Seltzer. You got two happy hours, 350 beers during the happy hours, and best part of that is the bar bites or the sliders just for $6. You can get the Texas style nachos, the Golden Misfits, and Big Adam's favorite, the Anchor Fries at Born and Raised in Las Vegas and Henderson.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.